Which one of us is doing the intro?
I don't know. You asked the question, so it makes me want you to do it.
Okay, I can.
Yeah,
you're the one that knows our guest, though.
I mean, you know, what is it called? When you, like, know someone for their stuff and not them.
Parasocial?
Yes, thank you. I know them in a parasocial way. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just know there's a clown involved. Uh-huh. And interstitial.
Quick question before we begin.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, like, the triangular chart. At the top is funny. The two bottom corners are scary and sexy. Where do we all fit on this chart?
Over the clown?
No, I'm saying that so that I don't say it during the actual recording.
Oh my god.
Wait, for my character, or are you asking for me?
There's a reason, like, I might not want to know the answer.
Oh, okay.
I was like, why would you ask this if you don't want to know the answer?
I was asking it then so it wouldn't be a part of the actual podcast. Oh,
okay. Well, this is all
I was like getting the derangement stand out of my system.
Okay.
Great. Hey, whoever's editing, be nice.
They're gonna leave it in.
I know. Hello and welcome to Check Out This Guy, the podcast where we put the social back in parasocial. Hi, I'm Izzy. You can call me Izzy. And I think clowns are funny.
So true. I'm Morg. My pronouns are they, he, and I also think clowns are funny, so we don't really have a lot of scary clown havers here, I guess.
No, we're up in the heaven side of this chart.
Yeah. So, but we do have a guest to talk about such things. Would you like to introduce yourself, guest?
Hi, I'm Dee. You could call me Dee. I use any pronouns except for it. Don't call me that. I'll cry. In real life, clowns are kind of scary to me, but my clown is funny.
Oh, right.
Your clown is funny. So true. She can be a little scary.
Yeah, to other people. But, you know, there's a way to understand her if you're patient
and kind. Yeah, so Dee here is part of an interstitial game which you can actually listen to yourself, at least the kind of summary and talking about it afterwards. Sorry, hold on, my cat is making noises.
Cat, good. Cat, cat, cat.
It wouldn't matter if it was meowing, but it was litter box noises. So
ew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, so Dee here is on a podcast called Resolve After Play. And yeah, because you're part of like the group that plays interstitial and you play a clown. Tell us about this clown.
I do play a clown. Her name is Geyser.
Good name.
And Geyser uses she, her pronouns. Geyser, as we have discussed several times, is a clown, and she causes a lot of problems for the other party members, both intentionally and unintentionally. Now, were you looking for just a general background overview, or, you know, what we've been doing in the campaign?
Both would be great, but only, like, whatever you kind of can come up with. I think, like, the most, you know, it's hard to talk about guys without talking about their setting, so I guess it's kind of like go into as much of that as you want, and like maybe you want to because I know she's changed quite a bit through the campaign.
Yeah,
help us to understand this geyser.
Yeah, who is Geyser?
So, just for the record, Geyser is spelled G-U-Y-S-E-R, and I know that's incorrect, but I literally, that name came to me in an actual dream, like I was sleeping. So, this character came about through a series of happy happenstances. This was the first campaign that I actually tried to put a lot of effort into the character before the campaign started. I previously was just kind of building the character through the campaign. Like, oh, I acted this way? Okay, it makes more sense. Let me note this. And, like, flesh this out in further sessions, right? So, I was kind of really out of my element, and I turned to my friends like, I don't know what to do. And then my friend Sammy, who was GMing the last campaign that I was in, was like, hey, you could do like an evil carnival worker. And I was like, what's that? And so I just started looking up a whole bunch of stuff. My friend, my other friend Alex told me to try the Akinator, which will like ask you random questions. And then I ended up on NBA Youngboy, which is a rapper. Whoa. And I was just like, I'm not playing NBA
Youngboy
in an interstitial campaign. So,
wow.
I did not expect the Akinator to show up today.
So, between all the finagling with my friends, I settled on, you know, a clown who does work in a carnival. And then I was like, this sounds kind of unserious. Like, there's a little, like, a silly little guy vibe happening here, you know? So then I started thinking of, like, DC villains, because, you know, DC Gotham villains are very unserious. Like, if they weren't murdering people and like melting entire city blocks, you'd be like, that's not real. Like, I cannot take you seriously. And then I thought about Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, and that is where like the geyser hook kind of like clawed into me, and I was like, I'm running with this. So basically, Geyser is an unserious villain.
Yes.
Modeled after the setting of Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. So, the kind of backstory I came up with is that there's this girl, her name is Jilly, and she has really shit parents. Terrible, awful people. You want to punch them in the face, we don't like them. Fuck them. Like, no. We're not fans, right?
All my
right?
homies hate Jilly parents.
Exactly. Their names are Ezra and Ruth, and they are bitches. That's all you need to know about them. So, Jilly kind of escapes to a fantasy world, right? Mm-hmm. Called Fort Mount St. Fun Fun Fun, and that's where she dreams up Geyser after someone she meets in an actual carnival. So, my kind of home world for Geyser is this dream world called Fort Mount St. Fun Fun Fun. Eventually, Geyser gets powerful enough that she can pull Jilly into the dream world to kind of escape from her parents. And I wrote like 3 one-shot chapters. Well, I guess it's no longer a one-shot if there's 3 chapters, but I kind of wrote a little thing kind of detailing Geyser's background, and at the end of that like series of chapters that I wrote, we end up in a situation where Jilly becomes so powerful that it actually shatters Geyser's dream world and brings it onto Earth, which in my like setting is called Planet Conglom, because Jilly's not the only or the first person to do this. And so geography is just a suggestion. The UK where Geyser Anjali would be from is actually in the middle of the ocean, kind of next to New Zealand. And then much later in my timeline, the United States, like North America, kind of splits in half. So there's just a whole bunch of fuckery going around there.
That's gotta like fuck up the weather and shit.
Yes. And that's not something that I have explored in the things that I've written, but I will just say, like, in Geyser's case, Jilly's dream world is relatively small. Okay. So the consequences of that are destroying Jilly's house where she lives with her parents, and kind of sprawling into the neighbor's yard. So it displaces things, but it's not like catastrophic, earth-shattering in Jilly's case. Geyser then tries to literally eat Jilly's mom, Ruth, and gets sent away. So after that, Geyser is in what is called the Home for Transferred Entities, which is my kind of analog for Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. And they kind of operate in that vein, except there's like a Men in Black element where we're trying to like protect the people of Earth from all of these imaginary friends and make it seem like, yeah, all this shit is normal and Earth just split apart and all that stuff like that. So that's kind of the long way of Geyser's background. Now, in the campaign, it's kind of played out as Geyser wanting to make herself more important. And what she settled on is being a problem.
Problems come.
And so... she is definitely the problems clown. We've made that joke several times. We have not found the shield wife yet, but Geyser has caused a lot of problems for herself, for her other party members, for NPCs, and just for the plot in general. we kind of follow her, like, she meets this wolf god that's large and just extremely imposing being, and she just, you know, decides to launch a rock at him. That's like her first interaction in the campaign. And it's not like huge compared to Thanos, this wolf god, because he's a huge guy. So yeah, in scale wise, it's a silly little prank, but Thanos is like, ah, this is so funny. I love this. Let me throw this rock at these people over here and they will enjoy it as well. They are not huge wolf gods and that will kill them. And Geyser's not in the business of murder just yet. So that kind of backfires immediately. So there's several kind of hijinks that in that vein that happen.
Yeah, Thanos was one of the other players. Is it just like, so they just kind of rolled with it, which is fun because the dynamic sounded like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And other notable moments is Geyser trying to be helpful to someone who lost their weapon, opens a fountain of loaded and live firearms into the bar, the karaoke bar that she's in, and fortunately nobody gets hurt but Geyser. But she gets banned from the premises. There's a cute sign that has Geyser's face on it with a big old red circle with a cross. You're not allowed.
That's how you know you've really made an impact.
That Garfield sign, but with Geyser's face. Huh, I wonder who that is.
Geyser also turns herself into a clam and, like, shoots scalding water at the chef of that bar. And Geyser also turns herself into a swordfish and fights a bunch of crabs. There's just, like, a lot of unserious things happening. And eventually, you know, the rest of the party members and some of the NPCs kind of figure what makes Geyser tick. She gains a passion for marine biology, and she realizes, hey, you know, I'm actually causing some of these problems for myself. Namely, she was in a weakened state because she cast magic on herself and Jilly, who created Geyser in the beginning. And so part of that is a realization that comes from Smog using a move to, like, forcibly give Geyser experience. And that made me level out of a playbook. And so Geyser transforms into her stronger form, and becomes a bit more rational. You still get the hijinks, but not necessarily the overt maliciousness that you would see in the beginning of the campaign.
Yeah, did you talk about Geyser, like, before the transformation, like, kind of fed on bad Bright? Like, what did she...
Yes.
Could she, like, okay, cause problems, not just, like, on purpose for fun, but, like, for energy? Was that what it was?
Yes. So, she caused problems on purpose, definitely. But that was to feed. So, in my original write-up, it was a callback to that. While Geyser was in the dream world, she kind of fed off of Ezra and Ruth's hate for Jilly and for each other. They were just really hateful people. And that negative energy kind of, it didn't make Geyser strong necessarily, but it made her more corporeal. Like, it tethered the dream world more to the real world. Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. What made Geyser stronger or weaker was her connection with Jilly. Now, Jilly eventually, when she shatters the dream world, that connection necessarily severs, but Geyser unknowingly casts that connection again, with her own magic and makes herself weaker. Because at that point, Jilly is, like, physically strong and mentally stronger. She's a little bit older. And so now, like, she's kind of sucking back the energy from Geyser. And so Geyser's solution to that is to replace it. And in order to get people's energy, she needs their attention. And she thinks that the strongest way to get other people's attention is to cause them problems. Like, if someone has a negative opinion of you, you're more likely to stick in their mind for longer than if they have, like, an okay, pleasant view of you. You're not thinking about them that often.
This is true.
That's how, in Geyser's mind, that's her internal logic. So, she definitely sets out to make people upset with her. She's not trying to, like, hurt them too badly, although she does cause multiple people pain. But her main goal is to kind of, like, parasitize other people's negative energy. And it doesn't always work. Sometimes, like with Asenos, they like Geyser's antics, or other times they, like, completely ignore her and just, like, work around her. So it's a mixed bag. It's always surprising when you kind of create a story with other people. Yeah. All your plans go
to hell. Oh yeah, we know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We've both been DMs and also players, so, Geyser just seems like a lot of fun to play, and, it's fun that she's still, like, wacky, even if she's, like, toned down a bit. So, I know the playbook you started with was, like, discarded or something?
Yes. I played the discarded.
And then you did, like, a fan one that I don't know anything about for, like, the level up.
Oh. So yes, that was a DLC that was shared to me by my friend Sammy, called The Sleuth. And the reason why I picked that book was because something that I had a conversation with the GM, Dan, and I was talking like, I'm not sure which one to pick because I was leaning towards the Mystic. My other friends in the campaign, they had kind of taken up a lot of the books that I was thinking of, like The Anachronism. I think The Companion. No. Is it The Companion? I'm not sure. No. It's one where you're kind of like a different character in every world.
Oh,
that you visit.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Oh, I know which one that is. I don't remember what it's called.
My very first campaign, I played that playbook. But those were the things. The Anachronism was something that made sense to me to like transition Geyser to. The Linksmith also. But, you know, if everybody kind of leaned into the ideas, people went from light to dark and dark to light, and I definitely was like, what do I do? So I sent like paragraphs and paragraphs to the GM, Dan. He's like, you know what, I think The Sleuth makes sense because Geyser has been the one to kind of question things that are happening while everybody is going along with it. And that was something that really stood out to me because I didn't even realize that I was doing that. In game, I definitely was, but I was like, oh, I totally am. Because Geyser's kind of one of the last characters to change playbook. There was only one person after me, Pony, who is a horse that was deluded that she was a unicorn before. I love her so much.
She was from the Shrek universe. So she was just like talking horse. Was for a long time that was like her power, was just being able to talk.
And so you know, there was transformations before, and some of the characters made multiple transformations, and everyone's just like, well, we got puzzles to solve and people to help, let's move on. And Geyser's like, excuse me, you are an entirely different person and everybody else is just cool with this shit. We need to know what's going on. And I think it's also kind of ironic considering just like how unserious of a character Geyser is, that in these moments where everyone's going like profound transformations, everyone else is just like, you know, sometimes you just become the abyss that I'm a roll with it. And Geyser's like, actually, sanity check, everyone.
Yeah, what the fuck? This should not be happening, right? Or should it? I don't know. Yeah.
So, but by the time Geyser transforms, I think there's nobody else to kind of question what's happening. And also, I think everybody's kind of just accepted that people are going to change and not to get too attached to whatever version of this person that you're seeing.
Yeah, I can't believe how many playbooks some of your players go through. I was like, what is happening? How do you advance this fast? I guess I've never played an interstitial game quite as long as this either, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, you can level up insanely fast in interstitial.
Yeah, you can. There's moves that give you experience. And you can, depending on the playstyle of the GM, if they have a lot of NPCs that they introduce you to, you can make links with them and then spend those links 2-to-1 for experience. Sure. So, you know, we played nearly a year and a half. We haven't even done our finale episode yet. That one's going to be a live stream, by the way. yeah, we're doing the very last episode in actual play, but I'm not sure if it's going to be an actual role playing session, as much as like a talk through. But
yeah, sometimes that's the way though. Like once your like characters are all powerful and stuff, it's like, where do we go now? We just have to like wrap up the loose ends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This sounds like a familiar topic from the last couple weeks.
Yeah. Our own campaign is going similar. We should just wrap up the loose ends. We're at the end. Let's fucking finish. But there's... Yeah, I kept like waiting. I was like, when's guys are gonna get her playbook change? I want to see it.
Yeah, this was something I also discussed on Resolve, that, you know, kind of halfway in the campaign, I was kind of stuck because I had heavily developed Geyser to the point where I could not see growth happening reasonably. And that's why I'm kind of grateful for both Alex and Sammy, who have a lot of... Alex and Sammy play Smog the Moogle and Isiri the Mermaid, respectively. And they both also have extensive experience GMing. And they, in their kind of schemes in the background, are like, oh, we're going to interact with Geyser in this way. And then Alex is like, I'm literally shoving experience onto you. And it's kind of funny because the moment of the transformation and the moment where I gained enough experience to change playbooks happened at two separate times. So the moment where I gained experience, we were in this world called the World of Motion, and there's like a race to catch a butterfly. That series kind of felt like a fever dream to me. I was out of it. And actually, they had our characters take
hallucinogens. Yeah, I was like, I think everyone ended up out of it. You can definitely listen to that on the podcast. It's very funny.
So I was just like, what's happening? And then Smog's like, you know, you have a purpose and a reason, and you can do all these things, and you're holding yourself back, and you don't have to do all the stuff, and kind of like encouraging me to do all the stuff. And then Smog says, you can make a scene, just do it, right? And at that time, Smog was playing the dark playbook, so it was kind of like that mischievous energy, like, I'm trying to get you to do shit. Not necessarily, like, maliciously towards you, but definitely manipulative. Yeah,
I think it's interesting how you guys, like, handled the dark playbook. Because you didn't treat them as, like, evil necessarily. And also, he changed books anyway, like, 2 billion times. No,
Yeah. So, Geyser literally casts a big ball of sparkly magic in the sky. Again, a callback to the write-up that I did. Geyser, when she feeds off of other people, it looks like sparkles. So, Geyser's literally, and also like Dragon Ball Z reference, you know, total give me your energy moment. Mm-hmm. So she's like, at the same time, giving off her magic and sucking off other people's magic, and so there's this big ball in the sky, and it causes an invasion by the government. And so we eventually like had this huge knockdown drag out fight where they like shoot a harpoon at Isiri, and then Geyser just goes ballistic and starts murdering everybody, and then another character, Tao, starts murdering everybody too. Like, he literally burnt everybody but Geyser to a crisp. That was interesting.
The governance is kind of like the big bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, it's a whole, like, I was like, wow, there's a lot of lore to this show, isn't there? Yeah.
So, it's kind of a thing with this particular group. Not me, because I'm relatively super new to role-playing. I picked it up about 4 years ago, mm-hmm. When Alex, he randomly was like, hey, you want to play tabletop with us? And I was like, what's that? He's like, you're gonna love it. And I did. But, they've been playing it for like decades, right? And so you get all this like big brain convoluted shit. They're like, the GM is like machinating in the background, and so are the players. Like everything is like web connected conspiracy theory. Like I'm full like woman with like random math equations floating in front of her face. And so, you know, I just kind of like let them take care of the big brain shit, and I do the antics in the here and now. Oh, yeah. So there's that, right? And then later we visit the world of the lost, which is kind of a shadow world of sorts that's connected to each of the worlds that we visit, and it only exists because things are displaced.
Yeah. It feels very like unconscious, like someone, you know.
Yes. You have to fall asleep, yeah, to get there, which is another interesting thing, because Geyser does not sleep. So in order to get to the world of the lost, people have to literally put Geyser to sleep with magic, or like by physically knocking her out, mm-hmm, or something. But that's like an aside. So we go to the world of the lost, and Geyser finally meets the master, who is kind of both the cause and was caused by the world of the lost existing, and he's missing all his body parts. That's a whole another thing. And they have kind of a conversation with Geyser, and then Geyser finally transforms in the world of the lost and then leaves. Now, this is another thing. Geyser took a move costume change. So when she comes back out from the world of the lost, like, nobody can tell that Geyser's changed except for the people who saw her in the world of the lost, because she's wearing a costume. Oh, and so she never takes that costume off until later, because like there's no point. I'm just going around in my like human Sona suit.
Everything's the same. Everything's normal. We're good.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so when people engage with Geyser, maybe like through listening to podcasts or even just listening here, like I'm driving home the point that bad things happen because of Geyser, but it is not serious. Like, you cannot take anything this person does at face value or seriously at all.
Yeah.
And it's been a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, she seems like really fun to play. And, you need to, like, have some comic relief with all this, like, big brain shit happening in the background or whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're like, oh, God. You're turning into a god or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so everybody in the party is some sort of deity, yeah, except for Pony. Like, literally everyone.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
I think for Asiri and for Athenos, that was always the intention, mm-hmm, but not for Smog and Tau. Definitely not the intention for Geyser. That's something that comes about because, you know, of the other players kind of interacting with Geyser. So Pony, like, kind of brands herself as this wandering scholar towards the end. But literally everyone else is some sort of, like, divinity, otherworldly power. And because of the scale of that, it's kind of hard to manage what happens in the campaign. And I've been thinking about that for Dan. I'm like, how do you deal with all of this? But a lot of people, like Sammy and, like, Alex have artificially imposed limitations on themselves to, like, make sure that it stays interesting in storytelling and that you can't, you know, just snap your fingers and solve all the problems. But for a character like Geyser, whose limit is literally their imagination, there was no such limit. I guess if I had to say it, the limit that I imposed on Geyser was the fact that she was kind of feral and had no home training and, like, didn't know how to interact with people. So, like, oh, Geyser can solve all your problems without pushing a button. And she's going to try, but it's not going to work, you know? Mm-hmm. So things like that.
I love her, like, she's almost like learning social interaction in some way. I don't know how to explain it, but like,
it definitely is that, exactly that.
She's like, I have friends now and I have to figure out how this works. Oh no.
Oh.
It's very Izzy core. It's very
yeah.
Izzy here likes to play characters that do stuff like that too, so.
Uh-huh.
Very on brand.
So
not to call you out.
I didn't realize it until it became a pattern.
Not to call you out.
No, like, I mean, if I don't feel called out. No, it's absolutely a thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun exploring. This was something that I kind of talked through with the other players out of character, coming around like the middle of the campaign. So, Geyser literally, if we again go back to her backstory, she was isolated in a dream world for all of her life, and then she was forced into the real world, and then sent to a home where all of her other interactions were with other imaginary friends and one human who, like, ran that home. You know? So, Geyser literally does not know how to interact with people. And so, like, another thing that Dan talked with me about is that he doesn't let Geyser's actions go, like, unrewarded story-wise. I don't know how to explain, like, not like, oh, Geyser, you did a good job making other people uncomfortable, but
people, you know, remember her, though. Like,
yeah, people remember Geyser in the moment. Dan is, like, painting a picture that, like, the thing that Geyser is doing is having an impact. It's not like Geyser's just being a silly guy and everybody's just cool with it, right? So, like, there's this montage of, like, the party's kind of separate, doing their separate things, and they're having, like, a morning routine. And again, Geyser doesn't sleep, so she's just been fucking around the city, and she finds a playground, right? And she's, like, just staring at this family, just, like, standing there staring. And, like, the father, like, waves at Geyser. And, but the mother's like, really, really, like, what is happening? What are you doing? Like, who are you? Who is this clown? Why are you staring at us?
It's funny because, like, you can say, who is this clown? Even if they weren't, like, wearing a clown outfit. Like, you're just like, who's this clown staring at my children? Hello? Uh-huh. And then it's like, oh, that's a literal clown. Okay. Yeah. That's another thing. She's got to be, like, isolated because she, like, stays up all the, like, she, you know, everyone's fucking sleeping. Yeah. Like, even now, like, now that she has all these friends, like, it's interesting.
I don't think that's something that part we explore, because the pace has been kind of brutal. Yeah, like,
there's a lot happening.
It's a lot of very dense interaction, and when I think besides that one day, it hasn't been depicted, you know, the party sleeping without Geyser. Every time the party has been sleeping, someone has forced Geyser to sleep to enter the world of the Lost, except for that one time. So, or, you know, part of the party is going to the world of the Lost and the other party is staying awake. So Geyser, if she's not by herself on purpose, you know, there's somebody else in the party with her.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that, like, all this is happening when you have been playing this game for, like, a year and a half, and there's still, like, so much to do. I'm like, this is crazy. How is your DM, like, keeping track of all this shit?
So, I have no clue. And you want to know something else crazier? Mm-hmm. This is his first campaign DMing.
Yeah.
Like, very
first.
I remember
them saying that on the podcast. And I'm like, how is this? He's doing a fucking good job. What the hell?
Yeah. And literally the only complaint that anybody ever had was the very first session. And it was because, like, he focused on two characters for, like, an hour each. Our sessions go long, like, 3 hours. And so, you know, the rest of the party was sitting back for 2 hours at a time, you know? But it was kind of necessary for the setup, because the way the campaign was started, you know, two characters were introduced to the world at a time, and then the party met up. So literally, after that first session, it was, like, very smooth, very coherent. Like, he was very responsive to the things that we wanted to do, even if they went awry. You know, I think also having party members that had GM experience themselves and tabletop experience themselves also kind of helped. And I think the other thing is that you're actually really close, like, this party. I will say, like, there's maybe one person I'm not as close with, but I talk to these people every day. So, like, we're messaging them about our characters. Like, it's a Saturday night and the DM is sending me, hey, do you think Geyser has, like, blankets and stuffed animals and stuff like that in her world? And I'm like, it is 2 a.m. Why are you up? But I'm also up, so I'm a huge hypocrite. So, like, it kind of helps that we all get along. We all, like, I'm the only relatively inexperienced person. And, like, I think Dan just is very perceptive in a way. Like, he's just a skilled person. I can't praise him enough. Like,
I want to put his brain.
not just for the architecture of the campaign, but for, like, how he handles the NPCs. Yeah. So, not all the NPCs are characters he created. For example, Susie was Sammy's character, if I recall correctly. There's characters that Alex created that Dan handled, and Dan actually played Ruth for a little bit. So there's just, like, I don't know how to, like, the way that he's so responsive to everybody, I don't think I could handle that at all. Like, I would have been so lost. I would have lost everybody's, what everybody's doing. Also, there's one last thing. Alex takes extremely thorough notes, like, down to almost perfectly capturing dialogue. So we have a very detailed record of all of the sessions. I think the only dialogue that isn't captured perfectly is probably Geyser pre pre-transformation, because the way that I talked with her was like very disjointed and like fast, and like I would interrupt people when they weren't like talking about the specific topic that I wanted to talk about. So like it's kind of hard to keep up with the conversation that's moving that quickly and like nonsensically. But definitely for Geyser, the whole gist and the important parts were there, and for everybody else, literally word for word, bar for bar, it's all there.
Crazy. I couldn't.
So they're all like writing novels in the background. Again, I play with really big brain, talented, multi-talented people. I don't know how that happened. I don't possess any of those talents, but I'm so grateful.
I mean, to be fair, like there is like something where you can get into the weeds too much about it. Like I'm sure they do it like fine because they've been playing for a while, so they probably already went through the phase of like, I've been in the weeds with this and I spent too much time on this character thing to just like drop it out. But like, you know, I've been there. Like, I've been there. I'm like, I want to do big brain shit. And then it, like, falls through because I'm like, wow, none of that came up in the story. Oh, no. But it's definitely, like, a learned thing. And, like, it also doesn't work for everyone. I feel like there's ways that it sounds like you, like, balance out the team, though, you know? Like, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, I know with our, like, group that I am, like, grateful for the people who are, like, we don't know what to do next? Okay, I'm gonna do a funny thing. Great. Like, we need that, because we just had some, like, stupid, serious shit go down, so... Like,
and there were definitely moments where there's just like that perfect juxtaposition. So there's a part in the campaign where like a major character dies that's been an NPC, not one of the like playing characters. And you know, it's like heavy and intense for everybody. And Geyser is also like uncharacteristically heavy and intense, but after that moment passes, it's like immediate hijinks. Like, I'm speeding off outside to like do shit. Or like in the beginning, you know, when they were kind of getting sick and there were kind of like death flags being thrown. Geyser like turns their wheelchair the bisexual flag color. Like,
oh, that came up in like with the most recent episode that's out, actually, I think.
Yeah. So there's just like, there's moments where like guys are trying to be nice and like loving, and it's just so unserious. And it brings a note of like levity and joviality that is nice. Yeah. But the thing is, I definitely had to be very careful to not interrupt the serious moments and like honor that and let them play out, because there's definitely urges when you're like in a character's head to like act petulant and childlike, if that's like what you're interpreting the character doing. But it's like, yes, this would be satisfying from Geyser's point of view, but it would it be satisfying from me as a player's point of view, or would it be good for the other people at the table? You know, basically, be an asshole in character, don't be an asshole to your other players.
Yeah, I think that's true. A great lesson. And it sounds like you intuited that like pretty well. It's not easy playing a character who does asshole shit without like either, you know, not going either like going too far or even not far enough. Like maybe you're like, oh, my character's supposed to do bad shit, but I'm not doing it enough, or whatever. But then you just have a big old arc about it. And yeah, no, I think I really like Geyser. I love to like hear her shenanigans. I love to hear her growth in the game. I'm glad you guys did the podcast so that I could be a creep and listen to your little machinations in the background, you know.
No, I really appreciate you listening, because I'm not the host. Again, it's my friends Alex and Sammy, and they definitely work really hard. Sammy did a shit ton of art. I think for characters, she's made like 3 separate models or even 4. For mine, it's just 2 because I just had the one playbook change. So there's just like a lot of work and editing that goes on behind the scenes with them. And so it's nice to see that people are having fun and engaging with the characters. I love that. Yeah. It makes me so happy.
Yeah. I like that you guys are like talking about like the game like after it happened. I think that helps a lot with like how my brain interprets actual play stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, I just like to hear about people's... That's kind of why we have the show, right? We like to hear about people's characters after the fact. We're like, yeah, bring us your guys.
Surely not.
I think, is there anything else you wanted to bring up about Geyser? Because I think we're like rounding the... We're like going to be at the hour mark.
I think I've talked my ass off. If you guys have any like specific questions about her background or like any general character questions, I'd be happy to answer. It's just you know, I think you all got the point.
Definitely. I just wanted to give you the space for that. Unless Izzy has anything, I think we're good. Probably?
I think we're good.
Yeah, so tell us where we can find you online.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, my mind just went so blank, and I was like, the internet?
So true! Yes. Yes! I mean, you know, you can plug the show, you can plug whatever you want. If you don't have social medias, you also don't have to plug them either.
No, I have so many. It's just I'm used to the format of Resolve, and so when you, like, where can we find you? I'm like...
Here, obviously.
But, go to Google and search for you.
Google.com/slider D.
Slider D. Yes. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky as /slider D. I want to warn you, I'm very irreligious on Twitter. So be warned if there's like... If you have like sensitive virgin ears, you're not gonna enjoy my Twitter account. I also stream on Twitch /D2. I mostly play Yu-Gi-Oh nowadays. I'm on Instagram as I had a cow lol. You can listen to our After Play campaign at Resolve After Play. For most social media, there's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, I think SoundCloud too. Wherever you get your podcasts, it's most likely there. I think that's it.
Yeah. You can find me at Haunting the Morgue on Tumblr and Blue Sky. You can find me at Gengar on Co-host. You can find me at Sonic Hustle for my Sonic podcast stuff, all that stuff. And Izzy, you can only find on the Discord.
just stealing my thunder.
Sorry.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you are not on our Discord, come to our Discord. It is the best thing on the internet.
I don't know if you can prove that. You can.
Well, it has me in it, so.
Damn, so true. Yeah, you can find us on Tumblr and co-host at Check Out This Guy. You can find us all on noisepace.xyz. Lots of podcasts. Like my Sonic one.
I read so many episode descriptions yesterday.
Yeah, I finally caught up on the Tumblr. Mostly, I have like two episodes to put on. But yeah.
You did a very good job.
Thank you. When I'm like the social media person, I think there's a problem. You know. No, it's because everyone else doesn't use it. No, I'm just kidding, but. Yeah, I think. How do we end a clown episode? I'm feeling like a clown.
Trying
to think of how to end this episode.
I'm telling you, just honk honk.
Honk. Oh God. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night, folks.